In the name of Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? That's a question from the 137th Psalm. It is a question born of exile. The question there was how a 6th century BC exile from the land of Judah should sing of Zion, should sing of Jerusalem when in Babylon. Hearts have no songs when they have no home. How does one live in a strange land? I found myself asking that for about 2 years now. Before joining the theology department at Concordia University in Wisconsin in the fall of 2014, I had spent 8 years abroad, 5 in Germany, followed by 3 in England. I didn't plan forever to live abroad. I didn't know how long I was going to be abroad, and abroad was always somehow abroad. It was foreign. And I expected at some point to return to the United States. What I did not expect, however, was that returning, I should feel so much a stranger in my own land. Lingering economic downturn and insecurity could perhaps be borne. But my country now seemed to be saying that the most fundamental of all relationships, that of man and woman and of the children born to them, was inessential, inconsequential. Not only to be redefined, but perhaps outright overcome. And similarly, with a revolution turned devolution, was now pushing the best and most stable of its citizens out of its armed forces, out of public office, out of public schools. Of some concern to us at Concordia, Wisconsin, was something that was happening in California this spring. Nearly passed legislation that would either have robbed our sister institution, Concordia University Irvine, of its Christian identity and ethos, or finally threatened to perhaps shut it down. And perhaps all of this in this my homeland would not feel so utterly foreign if some good, upright, honest, altruistic political entity presented itself as a solicitor of allegiance. But alas, I fear that if anything seems clear in this election cycle, when much does not, it seems that to me and my countrymen, the options presented to us are a bit discouraging. Whether you've lived abroad or been here the whole time as a Christian, the landscape, I would guess, has begun to feel rather foreign. Rather strange, and maybe even so strange that it might rob hearts of songs. Outside a little village, today in the gospel lesson, we hear of Jesus running into strangers. 10 people who were not unknown to him, but were certainly distanced from everyone around them. 10 lepers. Lepers, now that's first class, or we might better say last class stranger. They're outcasts. Imagine having something like psoriasis or eczema. Or think about that time that your kid got ringworm because it snuggled the wrong cat. Imagine getting quarantined by your community for something on your skin that looked like that, but then imagine that it wasn't that simple, it wasn't that benign, it didn't just clear up. Imagine that there's really bad stuff at the root of that skin blemish, Hansen's disease, we would call it today. The good version of that would have given you lumps on your face, have your tissues thickening, have the membranes of your nose and your throat disintegrating. That's the good version. The bad version, blisters, ulcers on your skin, portions of that skin in your body could fall off, and it would kill you, but it might take 30 years to do so. That's tough, A lot harder than going to school with a zit. Notice that these lepers didn't ask Jesus to heal them. They just ask him for mercy. And they do that from a distance. And that's about all that they could do with anyone. Perhaps they expected no more from him than pocket change. And we might guess that this was their standard procedure. They are outside, but they are dependent on those who are not outside for their survival. But they did not start this way. All 10 of these have, at some point in their lives, become strangers, become outsiders. And they are not the only ones. Jesus is something of a stranger too. He's in rather foreign territory, at least for a Jew. Verse 11 of our gospel lesson today, the first verse of that lesson, suggests to us in its English translation that Jesus is traversing the border between Samaria and Galilee. That is perhaps true, but the Greek isn't so clear. It could also read, he was passing through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. That would put him in foreign territory, Gentile territory, Samaritan territory. This wasn't Judea, whose center was Jerusalem, whose very center was the temple, which temple bore an inscription at this time forbidding the entrance of, quote, foreigners. The same word on that inscription as is in verse 18 of the gospel lesson. Jesus doesn't really belong there. And no Samaritan belongs where Jesus is going, that is Jerusalem. But there he is, Jesus, a foreigner, an outsider, now with an appeal from 10 outsiders. In an answer to their cry for mercy, Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. The priests were that group that watched over the bounds of the Jewish community set by the law, set by God. The priests are in Jerusalem. And if you were going to get back in and no longer be out, the priests were the ones who had to pronounce you clean, free from leprosy. And to be pronounced clean, you had to be clean. Jesus telling them to go to the priests was telling them that they were or were soon going to be clean. And indeed, as they were headed there, they were cleansed, healed. 9 go to Jerusalem. 1 comes back. He's a Samaritan in Samaria. Strange. Watch what he goes on to do now. He's doing what people should be and usually were doing in Jerusalem. He's bowing down to the ground. He's glorifying. He's giving thanks. In the whole of the New Testament, this word for giving thanks is never used for anyone but God, except here in Luke chapter 17. And here, Jesus is on the receiving end of this. And the Samaritan is the one giving it. This, dear brothers and sisters, is nothing less, I would suggest to you, than a Copernican shift. That is to say that prior to this point, the sun had, so to speak, revolved around the earth, but now the earth is revolving around the sun. You see, Jerusalem had been for some time, rightfully, not mistakenly, been understood as the center of the universe, the center of all its gravity. It was the place where the Lord had literally put his name, his presence, and no other place in the world was like that. But on this day, in some village in a strange country, that place became the center of the world because the Lord himself happened to walk in with dust on his feet, in the flesh of Jesus Christ. 10 strangers, 10 outsiders, they bump into that reality. They get healed, but only one of the 9 realizes that the universe has in fact now shifted and that its center is not actually down that road in Jerusalem, but behind him, in that village, in that man, in that Jesus Christ, and he returns, and he acts exactly as if the world has shifted. He looks to this merciful, healing, cleansing Jesus as no one less than God. And Jesus calls this faith, and he is saved. 10 are cleansed on this day. 1 is saved. 9 are at the temple. 1 is with Jesus. The Samaritan is interesting because he was doubly out. He is locked out of the temple in Jerusalem, not just as a leper, but as a foreigner, as a stranger. The others presumably were not. Luke gives us what appears a surprise announcement there in verse 16. Now, he was a Samaritan. The rest, presumably, we are to understand, were Jews. So this one of the 10 is only one of the 10 that he's a part of, so long as those other 9 have leprosy. That's his only association with them. And the moment that that joint uncleanness is over, his other strangeness, his other foreignness is a reality again. And the 9, they go on to Jerusalem, where God used to be and would not long be, to the temple. And one goes to where God was and would remain forever, in this man, Jesus the Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, there is so much that we can take from St. Luke, so much that we can learn this weekend, but at the very least, we can take this. The presence of Jesus Christ is what defines where God is. And where God is where those who are his belong. And what is more, Jesus defining the location of God can mean, at times, nothing less than Copernican shifts of reality, where you realize, you know, it's not actually the sun going around the earth, it's the earth going around the sun. And that is what happened in the little village that day in Samaria. The center of the world had moved. It had come right there when Jesus walked in. And who was in, and who was out, and who was strange, and who belonged, it all changed. And the presence of Jesus Christ affects that change, and it defines these realities. That one person at the feet of Jesus now belongs in a way that the 9 do not. Inasmuch as they are walking away from Jesus and not toward him, they are strangers, walking into foreign territory. Jerusalem or no Jerusalem, temple or no temple, God is behind them in the village. And that is the holiest place on earth. This is foreshadowing, if you will, of what is going to happen to Jesus as St. Luke continues with his account. Because where Jesus is journeying is toward Jerusalem. And there he will be treated as a stranger. He will not be recognized. He'll not only be banished from the temple, he'll be hauled out of the city. And it's not Hansen's disease, and it's not going to take 30 years, but it's going to be ugly. Isaiah the prophet rightly prophesied that the appearance of the Lord's servant, the Messiah, the Christ, would be, I quote, marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. When Jesus' own people make him a foreigner, when he dies, the temple worship and sacrifices come to their strange fulfillment. The curtain in front of the holiest part of that temple tears from top to bottom. The Lord says, I'm done being here. And Jesus, which is God in human flesh that can be killed and did in fact walk out of the tomb alive, Jesus now defines the presence of God and so all centers of gravity, and with that he defines foreigners and strangers and those who belong. Dear brothers and sisters, our hearts will be robbed of their proper song if strange and foreign, or the coordinate category of belonging are defined by anything other than the presence and thereby the location of God in Jesus Christ. The question for us as Christians in America, if we are to have any proper song in our hearts, cannot be a question of shifting majorities and minorities. It can't be a question of who is now or was strange to whom. The question can only be, and in fact is, about an actual center of gravity. You see, if 90% did not define belonging and strangeness on that day, then no shifts of 40 and 60% or 30 and 70 or any others can do that today. Being a Christian majority or minority in a given land does not define Christians, nor Christian belonging. The all-decisive question of Christian belonging is simply, where is Jesus Christ? And that is then where all strangers belong. Where God is present in Jesus Christ, having mercy, speaking, cleansing, healing, saving, giving belonging, that's the center of the world. And it is the center of any given part of the world. And with it, it has all the gravitational pull in the world. And that is strange and beautiful music in any land. And in this land too, even if only now, do we come to hear that so keenly, so acutely. The church, dear brothers and sisters, is always a stranger's church. Strangers of all lands, in all lands, brought into the defining presence of Jesus Christ in the church. The church knows none who are not strangers, and she holds none to be strangers. And so it is with the Samaritan too. When Jesus bid that foreigner to rise from his knees, he says to him literally, "Go, journey." That's the same thing that Jesus was doing. Going, journeying, sojourning. Verse 19, with which the gospel lesson closes, is strikingly similar to verse 11, even if not in the English translation. Jesus invites him to be and stay where Jesus is, to go where he was going. And that is faith, and that saves. So let's go. Let's believe, let's be healed, let's belong, let's be saved, let's be where Jesus is going. Our next steps are a journey to the altar, and he will be there, and we belong. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.